Hey everyone, welcome to Signals from the Frontline, your every Wednesday live broadcast brought to you by Frontline Gaming. We are your hosts, Kicker, the Chief of Serial, and Sigilite of the FLG, Nikki D. Cannon, Flannel Fan and Producer Extraordinaire, and I'm Seth the Mad Duck, your competitive correspondent. How has everyone been doing?
I have been doing good. I've been working like a squirrel. Yes, guys, what? That is the magical word for the night, squirrel, apparently.
Yeah, I think, chat, you're going to have to keep track of how many times he said it. He's already up to two.
I'm up to two. Me being of German roots, apparently squirrel is a very challenging word for me to say, but I'm practicing saying, right, yeah, we're at three. Seth is keeping track. So, all right, let's squirrel along here. That's not the right way use of the word squirrel. All right, guys. If you are listening to our show, please consider watching us live every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Kicker, Seth, and Nick here for Frontline Gaming. We are super excited, and like every single week, we like to keep ourselves accountable by showing our hobby progress. And this is the yes, there it is. There's the beautiful progress I've been working on. I've had to keep it top secret until I got the official approval and I guess the green light from GW. This is the brand new Kroot Kill Kroot box. Our friends at GW sent me this. They know I'm a huge Kroot fan, and I'm very proud to say that I've been working like crazy to paint these. And I think they look pretty damn good, if I might say so myself. Seth, look, they're not just earth tone. They're natural. It's like
they're kind of earth tone.
No, I'm going with a natural vibe. Like, that's the idea. I'm going natural. I'm looking authentic. They're in the frontier land. And anyway, I'm very proud of my tribal Kroot. They have some cool war paint. And
I'll give you, like, is that supposed to be orange or tan on their quills?
Oh, their quills are actually like Iando and yellow contrast with some another yellow.
Are they supposed to be orange or yellow or tan?
Yellowish. It's a golden yellow that gets brighter towards the tips of the quills. Like, it pops. I don't have a degree in photography, bear with me. So my photos don't do it justice. I promise they look more bright than the photos. Chat, please support me, because apparently my co-host is not. I could use some love, folks.
Kicker, I'll just let you know real quick. Their green skin with orange hair, they remind me of the Orion women from the original Star Trek, the series. With the ones that Kirk was trying to seduce. So aliens, green skin, orange hair.
Sure. Yeah,
that's what it looks like to me, Kicker. That's sure. All I'm gonna say.
That's not what I was going for, but let's just do it. Thank you. Okay. Well, those are my Kroot. I'm happy. I have a whole bunch of them on my hobby desk. I'm very excited to get an army of these guys. Oh, yes, there's me very excited. When I got the box, I was very, very excited.
Yeah, he's been talking about these for a while, folks.
I know. I have to do a box breakdown after our hobby progress, because I have to give you some updates on this particular box. It's pretty cool. Let's jump to Seth and his hobby progress, because Seth, I'm not the only guy that's been busy, man.
No, that's true. What have I been doing?
Yeah, what have you been? Come on.
I've been playing Balatro.
Oh my gosh, jeez. Put the game. Is that what you... I was trying to figure out why you were looking down earlier. It's because
I can show off Balatro.
You were literally playing a game while I was...
No. I was getting the home screen up so I could show everyone.
Yeah, right.
Seriously though, that game is if you're into like deck building card games, like, and poker, like, I don't often go insane for a game. I want to take you through the last 6 days. Oh, so I had heard about it. I heard it was a good game. I like deck builders. I like strategy games. It's all that stuff. And Thursday night, maybe Friday night last week, I bought it for PC and I played it until 1 a.m.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And I was like, man, that was really good. Before I could go to bed, though, I was like, man, that was really good. Except it's definitely one of those games I want to play while there's something in the background, like, you know, painting or watching TV or whatever. It's like, I wonder if they have a Switch port. And they did. So then I dug my Switch out of my TV and I charged it up, and at 1 a.m. bought Balatro again.
Oh my gosh, dude. You're addicted.
Then I stayed up until 2 a.m. and then 1 a.m. Friday night and Saturday night playing it. It's an addiction. An addiction. Yeah. You have to be careful, Kicker.
Apparently, I
have multiple friends now that are like, you go to a casino and you don't gamble? I'm like, yeah, because you saw what I did with Balatro. They're like, yeah. And I'm like, that's me if I'm actually using money too. And they're like, oh, good point. Don't. Like, you go to Las Vegas every year and you don't gamble? I'm like, yeah, because I don't have control. They're like, yeah.
It's good to know your limits, but Seth, you'll have to keep us updated on.
I have been working on something else, but it's not ready for a reveal yet.
Okay, that's fair. But Seth, I got to know, before this game you were playing, I believe it was Helldivers, right? Yes. Are you still playing that, or is this?
Pop on now and then to play with some friends. All right. You know, it's kind of at they're doing a good job with that game, where it's kind of like a live game where there's new updates and things going on all the time, and new story elements coming in. So it's kind of just like waiting to, you know, I hear the cool story part, I'm pop in, play from some of the cool story stuff with some friends, and then Balatro. Then after that, it's Balatro.
What about Nikki D? What have you been up to, man? You've been, come on, please tell me you've been doing some painting. I know you've been, you know, no, shaking his head. Oh,
no, geez. I was actually just chatting with one of our friends from the show. Steve Joel was chatting with him this week. It was basically like my hobby streak post that I'd been having on Instagram, they went dead for a couple of days because I'd had work travel and some other things like that. So I haven't touched a paintbrush or a sprue clipper or an X-Acto knife or anything else like that in a few days. But what I did do this weekend, I went and volunteered at an event called Destination Imagination. Are you guys familiar with this?
Yeah.
No idea.
So it's an event that's typically done elementary through high school students. My wife and her sister, actually, they did it as kids, which is how I got to doing it a couple years ago, because my wife and her mother are still active with it. But basically, it's a creative problem solving kind of activity. The kids are, you know, given challenges and they get to do these presentations. So it's like part acting, part science, part improv and that sort of thing. Anyways, I got to judge and appraise kids for their knowledge of science, which.
Did you say you judge children?
I judged their knowledge of science is what it was. So that was how I spent my Saturday. That was how I spent my Saturday. It was a cool thing though. I mean, I grew up doing a lot of science fair type of stuff myself as a kid. So getting to see kids active with it is pretty cool. My other observation from being at this event all day Saturday is you got a lot of kids that are like really into science and really into creativity and doing nerdy things. And I'm just looking at the room of like, this is hundreds of potential future Warhammer players in one place. And I got to figure out how in future years, how to introduce Warhammer to them. That's my goal.
How old are these kids, dude?
Age ranges from like the youngest, I think, are like 6 or 7 years old, but it does go up to high school. Cool.
I mean, high schoolers can play some 40K, man. Like that. Totally. I don't want to get us into a tangent, but next week we're doing kind of like I have a 3-year-old, and it's like bring your dad to work and show him what you do kind of thing. And I'm like, geez. And the teachers there are really excited. They're like, you like play games for a living, right? I'm like, well, kind of. And so they want me to set up a game of 40K for 3-year-olds. And they're like, and I'm like, okay, well, all my stuff has like guns or pew-pews, as we call them. And like there's blood and guts. And they're like, you can't bring any of that. And I'm like, I don't have a model that doesn't have like some.
Yeah, you're like, maybe this is where you break some like Seraphon out.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. Is like maybe dinosaurs, but the dinosaurs are pretty creepy. And like I have to be super, they're really censoring me. So I just went and bought some like generic like standing people off from Amazon. And we're just going to roll dice and pretend like we're playing a game of like find the treasure. That's when I'm going to make up a game, basically. I'm just going to throw a Frontline Gaming mat down, throw some terrain out there, and let the kids move little characters around the
board. I believe in prior editions of 40K, Kicker, this was the relic mission.
Yes.
is what you had.
Yes, we're just playing the relic. That's perfect. Perfect. Guys, I did notice, Nick, you had a beverage tonight. Seth, do you have a recording beverage tonight as well?
I always have a recording.
All right. All right, what do you got tonight, Seth?
Arnold Palmer.
All right. And what are you going with, Nikki D?
It's honey vanilla chamomile tea. We're like full on into allergy season here in Washington, D.C., which is also why I trimmed up my beard. My thick beard has gone away. I've had numerous people tell me in the last couple of days, like, oh, you got your hair cut. I just trimmed my beard and it makes my face look so much slimmer. It makes me look younger.
It's symmetrical.
I know. I'm kind of here for it, actually. Like, I liked having the beard, big dwarf beard, you know, but now this
works. I mean,
like I de-aged.
How does our Lord and Savior wear his beard? Henry Cavill. What
depends on the movie that he's in?
Yeah, it's usually pretty close to Sean.
No, that is true. That is true. And more of the recent movie previews.
Trust in Henry. Trust in Henry.
Well, I'm drinking sweet tea tonight, guys. In chat, tell us what you're drinking. Toast to our chat.
You don't have like cayenne pepper lemon water.
I'm not doing the cayenne pepper lemon water after the disaster when we did that. So cheers to our chat. Let's run into some news, folks. Yep. We're going to start off with I got to do a little bit of like kind of like the unboxing of this Krut box, because it is pretty epic. Not just because I personally like the Krut box, but there's some details in there that I think are relevant for any, 40K customer. First of all, the box is pretty, like all the boxes are. Yes, there's a photo of me extremely excited upon getting this box. But let's go to the Codex cover. All right. This is new for GW. The next slide is going to show this Codex cover. It's got like some sort of weird.
Oh, yeah, the holographic.
Thing. Yeah, it's like reflective hologram shininess. Oil. I was immediately like, whoa, that was unexpected. The data cards in there too, or the data slates, whatever, the cards also have like a shiny edge trim to it. I'm like, this is fancy. I want to show you guys, like, let's go to the next one. The packaging of this thing is crazy. There's like an envelope with a rubber band and the cards. Like the whole thing is done to a whole new tier that they've never previously done. And I'm like, well, I didn't need an envelope to carry my codex and my cards in, but I will happily take one. So that's kind of cool. The scale of the Krut, a lot of people have asked me like, hey, how do the Krut look now in comparison to the old one? Well, there's a Krut next to a current day guardsman, and these Krut are tall. They are extremely tall. They look way more linkier than previously, and I am very okay with it. I think they, Krut have an additional, their strength of 4 as opposed to strength of 3. They should have a little bit more, I don't know, buff on them, buff models. Oh, the bits too. I got to talk about the bits. There's so many damn bits in there. But I thought it was kind of cool. And maybe GW is going to start doing this in other sets. And maybe Seth, you've seen it. I have not seen it yet, where they literally are reproducing bits from the original kit, but in the new kit in like better scale. So this is one of those little like doodads that you clip onto the old Krut Carnivore kits that had it was like a bag with a dagger, and it's the exact same kit, it's the exact same bit 1-for-1, just on the new sprue. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I like that. Yeah. I can appreciate that.
Keeps the theme.
Yeah, it keeps
the old models and the new models.
And there were several bits just like this that were literally 1-for-1 from the old one. And I want to show you there again. There's my finished models. I'm very proud of them. They look great. Big fan of these models.
I'll love paint to punch fast. Them to death with my works.
So you're gonna.
I'll punch them to death with my works.
I don't know, dude. My guys are pretty fast. They're pretty fast. I move 7 inches. Like I got all sorts of redeploy shenanigans. Yeah, I'll take it. all right. So these guys hopefully will be seeing the table soon. Seth, I think this is something, because I know you appreciate action figures more than I do generally. Mm-hmm. What do you think of these Joy Toy launches recently? Take it away. What's going on with these things, man?
Yeah. So they're doing Joy. They've been doing Joy Toys for a while. But now they're getting into some much bigger scale, like Abaddon here and Horus, like them boys is some big beefy boys.
You will need, it is confirmed, you will need a baby carrier to take this thing around. He's got to strap the Abaddon.
I think they're really cool. I have the orc ones on my wish list on Amazon. I just have never pulled the trigger, because honestly, I look at all of them and I'm like, which one, what do I want? Cause I don't. And then you get into like, I don't want him to be lonely. He needs friends. And then you start figuring out how much it costs to get all of them. And you're like, wait a minute.
That's a lot. Do they have like a bundle deal or something? Like buy 3, get the 4th free? Nothing. Okay.
No. Oh, okay. But they're really cool. I've seen a few of them in person. They're really like kicker. Maybe not you so much, but maybe Nikki D can back me up here. Nerds tend to have a lot of what we call shelf candy, which is just cool things sitting on shelves around the house. These are like the perfect shelf candy. And I've seen a lot of people use those around their gaming state. There we go. See
that is a Jawa, like from my childhood, that still makes noise.
Yeah. And then Dorian points out in, two years ago at LVO, they had a Joy Toy kill team between Necrons and Space Marines.
Yeah.
Like someone had enough of those models to actually do a full scale. So I think they're a lot of fun. I think particularly like if you want something that you can display it and you don't want to display your painted models, or you're just want something kind of bigger and cooler looking, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I just think that the price point's a little high, right? Don't you think the price point's a little too high?
And that's what's holding me back on them. Because they're like $50 to $100 a piece usually. Yeah. Now, Kelsey, though, asked Kicker, and this might change your mind on price point. If you could have any one model as a Joy Toy, what would it be?
I mean, right now, obviously, I'm really into Krut. Like, I'm going to say Krut. But I think that the world needs a really cool Yarrick. Like, just a really badass.
And I would get a Gazgul, and we could play with
it. There we go. We could totally be like kids. Pew, pew, pew. Okay, let's do it. Okay.
DD, what would you get?
Yeah.
Horus Heresy era typhus.
Ooh, okay. That's so, a very typhus, sophisticated choice.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, before he became the demon the host for the plague hive and that sort of thing. He was the reason that they fell to Nurgle, you know, and he's the one who kind of embraced the psychic power. So typhus is my favorite of all the Death Guard. So it would be Horus Heresy, you know, pre plague host. That'd be my go-to.
Yeah, sweet. Well, let's talk about what we can get. I know we're dreaming here about fun joy toys, but what we know we can get this weekend, or at least pre-order this weekend, is Old World. Yes, the Orcs and Goblins Battalion is coming finally. So we've got the Skeleton Boys, we got the Bretonians, and now we got Orcs and Goblins. Seth, I know you're an Orc fan. Do these models, I mean, did you even
I definitely looked at some of these and went, how could I repurpose these to 40k?
The scale is smaller.
The scale is smaller, but they're really cool. There's a lot of, like, I definitely had some of these back in the day. So there was definitely that nostalgia hit of seeing those again. I think they look really cool. I really like the new big boss they have, the Black Orc big boss. I still kind of feel a little I don't know how well I love the new model to an old range. They've done a good job of getting them to mesh well, but like aesthetically, but I know the detail is going to be way higher on that character than the rest of the range. So, you know, I'd be interested to hear some of the older guys, how that's been going in terms of picking up these older kits, because some of them are being still sold in metal, Kicker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. So as a kid, I had the Snotlings and the Snotling Punt Wagon. Like, that was my favorite thing in the world. I thought that was so cool. And they're re-releing them. I'm like, whoa, but I don't really want to paint metal again.
Like that weird knob there. I'm like, I think he's cool. I might just grab him just because he's cool. But like, he's not going to do anything on the 40K table. He's just going to be a cool guy hanging out on a model somewhere.
Yeah. And then you're going to get frustrated because, like we said, the sculpts are just not as...
Yeah, because then you compare them against, like, it's like the AOS Weird Knob Shaman is basically, like, the same inspired sculpt, but it's much newer and in plastic, and I have three of them, and they all look beautiful, and then there's going to be that old stumpy little man with his stick.
Yeah. But in metal, too, right? Remember, in metal. Like, oh my
yeah, gosh. I guess I could throw it at my opponents if they upset me.
A weapon. Okay, so we've got these old models coming back in metal, but we have new models coming in plastic from Horus Heresy. The Solar Auxiliary are coming in force. We got all the infantry. We've got the tanks. I think one of those includes the Malkador as well as the Leman Rust.
Now, Kicker.
Yeah.
I know you don't play Horus Heresy, but have you looked at any of these for your guard?
Oh, I mean, yes, like done deal, of course. I think this will be a project maybe for second half of this year, maybe next year, just to like buff up my my Death Corps, you know, like really lean into the, I think these would be good Death Corps. I don't know, not the infantry as much, but the tanks, yes, 100%. The Draconian armor transport, I don't know if you saw photos of it, Seth. It's like the big old guard, I mean, a Solar Auxiliary transport thing. It looks so cool. I have no idea what to use it for 40K. Like, I'm trying to figure out how to make this work, and I can't. And then they have the heavy Sentinel too, which maybe we'll get some sort of rules for it. I mean, we all know that Guard eventually are going to get a Codex, and with that Codex, they'll probably get some new models, so maybe they'll get some sort of heavy Sentinel equivalent. But as of right now, it's really hard for me to port these over one for one. We should probably talk about the Frontline Gaming, you know, the little event that happened this weekend, the RMO. It was massive. Yeah. We're going to talk about it, I guess, at the main segment, but very good event. We can talk about BAO, though. This is 2/3 sold out already, and Old World is looking hot. I was like, what the hell? We've never even had an Old World event, but apparently people play this game and are stoked to come.
Prove me wrong, Old World Sims. Yeah, right. Prove me wrong.
Do you guys remember buddy Val? Val is very, very excited about Old World and very, very excited that we're doing an event at BAO, and we will probably add Old World to both ACO and LSO and, of course, LVO. Atlantic City Open. We just talked about Atlantic City Open. That's in about 2 weeks or so. We're going to be releasing those tickets. I'm working on a new cool ticket concept, and that's why it's taking longer. Basically, we're trying to bundle in possibly the hotel room so you can get it all for a super good price. New thing we're trying. And then the Champions Cup. I think we had like one spot left. After Colorado, there was two or three groups of players that were like, I want to go to this so bad. Well, Mike, well, when they're gone, they're gone. Get your ticket. So I think we just got a new team from like West Texas or maybe New Mexico that just signed up. So I'm very excited. They were, I think, like something like loaded beef or something. I don't know. They're like from the cattle. I don't know.
They're careful there, kicker.
Yeah. I'm like, is this, we've had some great names. Cheeseman of the Apocalypse. They were in force at the Rocky Mountain Open and they are a team coming to the Champions Cup, the Cheeseman of the Apocalypse. I don't even know what that's referencing, but awesome. Seth, you, before we bring in Seth to talk about the Rocky Mountain Open, I think Nikki D is very excited about something. Let's go to our nerd news, man.
I think we're all excited about something. So yesterday,
I didn't watch the trailer.
Seth doesn't care about Star
Wars. Okay, that's right. All right. Nope. Wrong slide. Okay. While I pull up the right slide here,
that's okay.
A trailer released for the upcoming Star Wars series, The Acolyte.
Yes.
Premieres on June 4th. It'll have 2 episodes on release date, 8 episodes in total for the series. Let me just give you you can go online and watch the trailer right now, which I highly recommend you doing after you finish watching this show. Again, don't pause us. Let us finish our show. But when you're done, right when you're done watching our show, go watch. Yeah. The trailer, just what I had sent Kicker, the description. This looks dope as hell. The show summary, I'm going to read the show summary from Star Wars. An investigation into a shocking crime spree pits a respected Jedi master against a dangerous warrior from his past. As more clues emerge, they travel down a dark path where sinister forces reveal all is not what it seems. Based on the trailer, it is kind of really supposed to be kind of like mystery, like kind of hunter hunted, you know, sort of thing, but it is set 100 years before the prequel trilogy. So this is the earliest that we've seen Star Wars in any of the films. Certainly some parts of the animated series have had flashbacks and things of that nature. It also includes one of my personal favorite actors out there, Carrie Ann Moss, who played Trinity from The Matrix. She is a Jedi. Yeah, which, like, do I want to see Trinity as a Jedi? Yes, yeah. I do. So yeah. I'm really excited. Kicker, was there, you watched the trailer. Yeah. Any feelings that you'd like to add on this?
So I got to say, man, I'm extremely excited. Now, anything Star Wars related, I tend to get excited about. I mean, I will see anything that's got a Star Wars, you know, label attached to it. But what made me more excited for this than anything else I've seen in recent history is that this looks totally different. Look at the slide right now. Like, there's our slide of the initial poster artwork. This looks violent, man. This looks, dare I say, R-rated Star Wars. Like, that is a bloody, you know, lightsaber dragging vibe. Like, it looks like a murder crime, movie, which I was not expecting. I just never thought Star Wars would go to that kind of level of violence. And this one looks like it's going to be a violence, an intense one. And I'm not really into like super dark stuff, but I'd love to see Star Wars being a little bit
Kicker,
more.
You recommended more. Band of Brothers to me.
Yeah. Band of Brothers is historical. It's
but like, it's dark.
But it's like watching a documentary. It's okay. No. Like I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm really interested to see like Star Wars have a little bit of 40K grim darkness in terms of the product. So I don't know. Seth, would you watch this if it was little, because you don't like Star Wars because it's just not your world? Like, why are you not a Star Wars fan?
I like Star Wars. I just have Star Wars fatigue. Like,
there's
just so much to like, and they try to make it all interconnect. So you're like, oh, that's a thing from this. Like, when I have to go watch a 6-season TV show to get the implications of it, I'm like, I barely can keep up with the shows I've got. So
that's fair.
I'm more attracted whenever Star Wars kind of does like a mini series or just a movie where I can just pop in for a couple hours, pop out.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the fatigue.
Yeah. I think this may be up your alley then, because it's going to be separate. Obviously, it's set way before all the things that are there. And the director for the show has talked about, like, they have some people that are very much like the Star Wars historians, but some of the writers of the show have also, or like, were people that they've watched very little or none Star Wars, yeah, where like the plot line, it should be good enough to be a good story, regardless of whether or not you're a Star Wars fan, right? Yeah. That's another trap that some of these media outlets, you know, fall into when they're writing a story where it's just, oh, it's just fan service, but not actually a good story. So, you know, that part there, I'm excited for it. We'll look and see what it is. Also, just like the red lightsaber where it's just like a smear of blood image for it. Like,
yeah. Oh, that's a cool image. Yeah.
That's good. It's good. And also like the intro, I don't know, the whole thing looks good, but Seth, we'll give it a shot.
I'll take a look at the trailer and see.
It'll be like a book club for us. It'll be like a book club. We can all watch an episode. Seth, why don't you jump into our main segment, man?
All right. Well, this past weekend, I wasn't there, but our lovely Sigilite kicker was at the Rocky Mountain Open. I believe you were there, kicker, right?
Yes,
right?
I was there.
I saw some pictures. I definitely saw you on stream at one point and was trying to text you, and then you walked off stream. It was almost a 200 player event. I think it fired with like 196 is what the final count was, or something like that.
Yeah, and it was crazy because that was we had about 230 something tickets sold. Attrition is always a thing, right? We had a snowstorm hit us on Thursday before the event, mm-hmm. So I was like, "Oh, geez, I don't know who's going to show up." I was so pleased to see we had about 200 people show up for 40K. Of course, Age of Sigmar, Legion, they all had a great turnouts as well. So that shows you the community was excited and ready for it. Man, they were shoveling out snow that morning just to get there for us. So yeah,
and it's grown significantly from last year, right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We added a whole nother building. So this is at a fairgrounds. And so last year we had one building. This year we had two buildings. Next year, three buildings, maybe. I don't know. Let's do it.
And if I remember correctly, Kicker, you said it's now actually larger than some of our other established FLG events.
Yeah. This is now bigger than SoCal, which is just crazy because SoCal is a very long running event. This is the future. I mean, to put it this way, man, I've already signed the contract for 2025. Like we're doing this. It's happening.
It's coming back.
It's happening. Now, I think one of the things that's made this event so successful so quickly is there is a huge amount of community support for this event locally, right?
Yeah. So we didn't do this event.
Pop onto the next slide.
Yeah, Seth, I didn't seek out Colorado. Colorado sought us.
Sought you out.
They came to us, both the Legion community and the 40K community.
Yep. You know, and there's the local clubs, the 5280 Legion team and the Denver 40K Fight Club. They were the kind of driving forces behind this.
And I said, we'll do it, but then we're going to need your help. And they helped from scouting out the venue to arranging the food trucks to setting up after parties. Like, they're the reason this event happened. So, you know, guys, if you got a strong enough community and part of the country, just like, you know, make the same sort of case that they did, and we'll make it happen. It's kind of cool to see that happen, dude. I mean, I'm like really proud to see this. We should say Steven from the Legion and Brandon Roddy from 40K. Those are the spearheads, right? Those are the community.
And they both were judges for the event, right?
They were both judges for the event, but it's like calling them judges is almost doing them a disservice because they did so much more. I mean, they were there setting up, striking, making sure everyone was happy, helping people find their way around because it's not exactly the major metropolitan area. It's on the outside.
Yeah. And you were saying that it's got that Cherokee vibe where it's a lot more local players, a lot more relaxed atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah, totally different vibe than you would expect at a competitive event. Yes, it's a competitive event and you've got great players there, but everyone's just super, super chill.
Yeah, Dorian and Chad popped in and just got, it was more like a regional kind of like Cherokee. I think it's got that vibe. It has the benefit that it's in Denver.
Yeah.
We're very close to Denver. So there is a large airport hub. So if you are interested, it's easier to travel to. I've traveled to Denver for some other work stuff. But yeah, you can get in, get a car.
15 minutes from the Denver airport, 15 to 20 minutes from the Denver airport. We had several clubs coming in from California and you know, they all flew in, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of local flavor, in terms of the attendance there, but then, yeah, there were names like Ben Jurek flew in, Marshall Peterson flew in. So a lot of the names that we normally see traveling to a lot of events were easily able to make this one.
Yeah. And you know, what's also weird though, dude, is that like, I think this is another community that's kind of underserved. Like there's not an event there on what they call the Front Range, that side of the mountains there, the Rocky Mountains. So from basically all of Colorado up to Wyoming, there's just not a very large event. And yet there's a lot of players there. So for us to bring an event there, everyone was extremely excited. We had guys driving down from Montana for this event, you know, and you think about it, guys in Montana and Wyoming, even Colorado, they have a lot of snow in winter, and I'm assuming that they have a lot of time to get some hobby, hobby progress, I guess. So they were all very, very excited to thaw out and come for, celebrate their spring thaw out and come on down to, to Denver.
Aren't you? Like, never mind. Like...
yes. So we can say it. It's pretty official now. Just
Aren't you moving out there?
Yeah, I'm moving to Utah. We'll talk about it in another episode because I need help.
I'm like, you're complaining about how it's cold there. I'm like, you live in Louisiana and you're moving out there.
I will say I was the guy in the down jacket primarily the entire time inside the building everywhere, you know, but whatever. Let's keep it going. No, the event was great. Everyone was really stoked that we were there. It's one of those things that it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy because it really is just a bunch of people that were just so excited to be part of having this like large event that, you know, previously never thought would happen. So yeah, really good stuff.
Well, we got to give a shout out to all of our staff members that came out to help. That'd be Adam Solis and Mikey G coming out to help us at all the events. We couldn't do it without you, Mike, literally driving terrain across the country less than 3 weeks after the last time he drove terrain across the country. Yeah,
fast turnaround time. Yeah,
Adam coming in to help be our head judge, but of course supported by that local judge team. So really do want to give those guys
Adam did show up though, and he's like, kicker, I didn't sign up for this. He didn't realize it was gonna be snowing. Like, I don't think Adam has spent any time in snow. Adam's from LA. He doesn't really like snow, and he was like, no, kicker, I just was not expecting this. Thank you. I need another
day. All right. So what I'm hearing is, if a community that's in a snow ridden area wants to start an event, please contact us so we can torture Adam more.
Yeah. I know John, and John really wants us coming up to Alaska. We can make that happen eventually. Yeah.
If you weren't able to attend, like I wasn't able to, we were able to watch the event on War Games Live all weekend, which was fantastic. Joe does great coverage. So I got a chance to watch. Our results are in. These are no secret. They're obviously been out there for a few days. The winner, which was a man I said you should be keeping an eye on, was Zach Kerstetter, running Blood Angels. Interestingly enough, a list that Anthony Vanilla recently has kind of, I don't say pioneered, but refined. And then Zach, also a member of Team USA with Anthony, took that list out and did some very brutal things to a lot of people. I got to see a few of his games. And yeah, if you look at his scores, it's 98, 100, 100, 100, 70, 82. So there was three games in a row where he was just smashing people into space.
Yeah.
And there's a theme here, kicker, because our number two was Daniel Harrison with World Eaters. And because of this was a 6-round event with close to 200 players, both of those players were undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we basically have two aggressive combat armies going 1 and 2.
Yeah. So what do you guys think is the current meta 240 of melee focused? Are we happy about this?
Well, that's the thing. Everyone was saying, if you go all the way back to the beginning of 10th edition, everyone was saying that melee is dead.
Yeah.
They killed melee.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a shooting edition. And here we are with multiple aggressive combat armies doing aggressive combat things and doing quite well. In that vein, number three, one of the players that did very well at LVO this past year with a much reduced codex at LVO, but now with new toys, Cody Giro running Drukhari.
How cool is that though, right? Like this is the new kids on the block and they're kicking ass.
Yeah. I mean, that goes to show you. And Cody, he went 5-0-1. He had a draw in the final round. So he was right in it up until that last minute. So it wasn't like he submarined like I did at Cherokee. He was right in it right up into the end. So congrats to him, man. He's Zach and Cody are both members of the Denver Mountain Trolls, one of the local teams there. So congrats for them. That guy, that team took first, third, and fourth at the event. So great showing for those guys. It was really cool to see him. Moving on to our hobby progress. The first best painted went to this lovely Death Guard army by Ryan Blair. And it Death Guard and Nick, I'm going to say this with all the love in my heart for you, my brother. To me, they're usually kind of a drab army because they're all kind of that like olive green and they don't really have much in the way of popping highlights. Clearly, Ryan here also had that concern and went for the most vibrant Death Guard I think I've seen in quite some time.
Dude. I mean, I'm going to tell you, man, I'm not normally part of the paint judging team, but for this event, we decided they needed help. So let's just start. I'm going to be transparent. Normally, Age of Sigmar destroys the 40K crowd in terms of the hobby, right? This was the first time I've ever seen the 40K paint jobs better than the Age of Sigmar paint jobs. It was insane. Right. And the judges were having a really hard time figuring out which is going to be the winner. And they brought me in, and I'm like, I am totally unqualified to do this, but hopefully I can give some advice. And the thing is that,
for a cool $20, kicker will judge.
All right, for a cool $20. But independently, I think there's five of us involved in the judging. Independently, all five of us nominated this one particular army as the first one. It was just
like I said, Death Guard normally don't have that really like bright, vibrant color scheme. And then look at this thing. It's just
but dude, he even like highlighted the Nurglings, like the tiny little itty bitty blobs at the bottom had like beautiful highlighting. It was too much. It was just over the top. So well
done. Like, stop it, please stop highlighting. Yeah, he's still highlighting. It's at the judging table. He pulled out a paintbrush and kept highlighting. Stop it.
But because of all that highlighting is why it popped, right? So, yeah, it was shades of green, but just so many different layers. So well done to Ryan Blair for that.
Our number two for best painted was Jason Ryder, rocking this amazing World Eaters army. I actually think you can see it right next to that in that image, but I believe I have an image of the actual army up in there. And what I love about this is, again, World Eaters could be, again, a very monotone army with that red. And so we've got a lot of vibrant colors worked in with the basing. So that really also kind of helped break that army up, which was really cool to see. And then our number three, continuing with the Chaos looks better than Imperial theme, Stephen Mulkey running Chaos Knights. I've always loved Chaos Knights as a hobby project, and maybe one day there'll be enough of them back in stock for me to buy some. GW looking at you. Sorry, I would like to buy some Chaos Knights one day. There's just so many opportunities for cool things like that, like that amazing OSL and kind of the vibrant armor and some great basing schemes. So congrats to all of our best painted winners. Now moving on to our Paragon, which Paragon, for everyone that forgets, is our version of best overall. It is a combination of your performance on the tabletop and your painting skills. Our number one, and I think he was on stream around four or five, is Ryan McGuire running a Space Wolf army. This Space Wolf army is actually really interesting because it's basically like Mortal Wounds on the charge spam with like... What's his name? Logan Grimnar basically calling the Wolf Wog, so they get a bunch of benefits for one turn. It was really cool to see. And it helped that he had an amazingly painted army with a ton of conversion bits on them.
It was gorgeous. Like, I mean, this was one of my number two or three in terms of best painted, right? Yeah. Like, this guy just gorgeous.
Yeah, so he went over the top with the paint scheme. He came up with a really unique list, and he did very well with it, so congrats to Ryan. I'm going to actually skip down to number three. Our number three was Paul Cooper running Necrons. Necrons, a very strong army still. I might be running them this weekend at a GT. But he did this really cool scheme where they used a lot of black light, UV reflective paint, and then had a black light over it to really make those pops. So that was really cool to see. But our number two was actually a list that I called out pre-event. And we have a picture here of the painter himself. That's Marshall Peterson's Astra Militarum. I had literally no idea what the models were. I just saw that it had like a bajillion horses, and I was like, man, Kicker's going to love this army. I'm going to call it out.
And I thought it was a meme, man. I didn't think it was going to be something like good.
And then he actually got on stream with it round like one or two. I think it was round two, and played. And it was actually a really, really cool, effective list. But it was when he was on stream that he was explaining his theme for his army. And I wanted to call it out here because it's actually really cool. So it's basically a dinosaur themed Imperial Guard army.
Yeah.
And the reason it is, it's twofold. He made a really cool story for it, which is basically this was a guard regiment that got lost. They were scavenging for food on a planet. They found these animals. They were testing them to see if it was safe to eat, and they determined that it was Terran DNA, and these were the lost dinosaurs of Terra picked up by a warp storm, and they had to bring them back home to Terra as holy animals. But the other part of this was Marshall was saying that he had amassed a fair amount of store credit from winning some hobby progress awards from Frontline Gaming in the past. And so he was looking through the secondhand shop because he didn't really need any more orcs or necrons, trying to come up with an idea for a new army, and said that 80% of this army is actually from the secondhand shop. So he basically revived these models that, you know, had seen their time and been sold off by their previous owners, and made this wild, ridiculous looking guard army out of secondhand models, and then painted and played it to a very high level.
So it's like a weird list. It's converted kind of uniquely, right?
Yeah.
And then he kicked ass with it and painted it gorgeously. It's just like, geez, he just hit all the marks.
It's got a great theme. It's got a cool story behind it. So yeah, I thought that was just really cool. So I wanted to congratulate Marshall on that, making another amazing looking army. And then just kind of, looking through basically piles of models that, you know, people didn't want, going, how can I turn this into something cool? And then being like, how can I turn that into a pretty decent list?
Yeah.
So that was really cool to see. Plus, you know, 60 cavalry kicker.
Yeah, I mean, I am all for that. I mean, it looks so cool on the board. I went and saw him playing a game, and I was like, that is the most entertaining game to watch, just to see this horde of cavalry.
He was playing on stream, and he was playing against Greater Demons, and he got turn one and was just like, whoa, and shoved it all forward, and I was like, oh, good God. I think he made, like, three or four charges turn one, and I was just like, oh, God. It's just a bunch of cavalry up in the big demon phases. Oh my God.
And he can recycle them, which is cool, using the guard strat reinforcement. Yeah. So he's just like, okay.
I don't like recycling stuff. That makes me sad.
So
I am a Necron player. I should be the one that allowed to recycle.
Hey, by the way, for those of you at home counting, squirrel.
What do we have to chat? Five?
I don't know. You're supposed to keep track. All right.
I stopped listening to you after we start the show. Jeez.
We'll have to get a little clout counter in this corner.
Yeah. So that's all of our winners on the 40K side. Kicker, any other shout outs or thank yous?
I do want to say thank you for GW for supporting the event. Both Zach and Ryan will be going to Zach and Ryan, both best general and our best paragon, will be going to the GW Worlds qualifier. This was a qualifier event, and congratulations to them. We BAO, as well as all Frontline Gaming events, will have both best general and best paragon being golden ticket.
I gotta win paragon.
Yeah, so Seth, yes, just level up your hobby game, get a little bit better competitively, and you could be winning a golden ticket.
All right. Well, that's all we had for tonight for our main segment. In entertainment news, keep an eye out for, again, Joe at Wargames Live. He's at Adepticon this week doing the signals. Sing-goals, not signals. We're doing signals.
He could be a correspondent, though. He could be a correspondent.
Speaking of, I believe our lovely producer reminded me that it's tonight, not tomorrow night, because I thought it was tomorrow night. But tonight is the Adepticon preview, so keep an eye on that. Kicker, do you remember this little guy named Steve Joel?
Yeah, I his name sounds familiar.
Yeah, Steve Joel has revived his podcast, Champions of 40K. You can now find it over on Goonhammer's website. It's listed there and up on their feed. He's got his first episode up, but I have a feeling that you might like some of the interviews that are on.
Oh, I've heard, Seth. I've heard. I actually was talking to Steve recently. So yes, guys, you definitely want to tune in.
Yeah, so go check out Steve. It's always good to have him back.
For those that don't know what his podcast is about, because it's actually a really cool format.
Yeah, so he interviews different personalities that he considers, you know, the champions of 40K, and he interviews them and just kind of tells a bit about their story, you know, wants to hear kind of their experience and just kind of get to know the person behind the personality. I did have one other shout out to do, though, Kicker.
All right, do it.
This isn't in our notes. And I don't even know if actually Nikki D knows about this one yet. But do you remember our friends over at the Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen, particularly JC Watts, who runs Alzheimer's?
Yeah.
JC got the notification this week that he is an official Warhammer hero.
Yes.
From GW. So they recognized him for his efforts in the community. And I really just wanted to give the guy a congratulations, because I know how much work and passion he puts into his community and to seeing his events grow and succeed and supporting Alzheimer's. Also the personal battles he's had to go through on the health side of things. And while going through all this, still being there for the community. So it's great to see. So I just really wanted to say, congrats, man, you earned it. Couldn't have happened to a better guy.
That's beautiful. Oh, one other shout out, the Rice Guy. It was one of the food trucks called The Rice Guy. He had amazing teriyaki chicken at the event. It kept me warm and satisfied and happy. And I hope he comes back next year. So I just wanted to let you know that if you're at Rocky Mountain Open and you do not get food from The Rice Guy, you missed out. I'm sorry.
Kicker, we have someone in chat. I don't know his real name, but his chat name's Grokvar. RMO was his first tournament and for him and his ad mech. Thanks for the great event. And he won the Indomitable Challenge, which maybe remind folks what that dice is all about.
Yes, the Indomitable Challenge is one of our achievement dice that you can only find at Frontline Gaming events. That means this wonderful gentleman went, could it be in a female? No, I believe I met this guy running his ad mech, went 0-6.
I believe it's Jeff James.
There we go, Jeff James. Jeff's awesome stuff. You ran your ad mech, you lost every single round, but you didn't quit, so you got the Indomitable dice. You earned it, man. I think there was two, maybe three people that did
I see. I see. Yeah, at least one other on the list that would have earned it.
But that's amazing though, right? Like, you know, man, we're there to have a good time. And I really, really am proud of folks that can, you know, maybe lose all six rounds, but stick around to the end. So we really do applaud you.
At the end of the day, there's only going to be one person that wins the event. The rest of us are just there having a good time and making friends.
Exactly. And Jeff, seriously, we are honored that you made our event one of your first. Like, that's really, really cool. I hope you had a blast and hopefully we'll see you next year.
All right. Well, any final thoughts from the night sky? Tonight, guys. Ugh, words. I'm the squirrel now. Ha! Huh? One for me.
Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. I am very excited to get some more hobby progress done immediately after the show. Seth, I bet you're going to go play some
whatever. Balatro. Yeah. Get it right, Balatro. The fact that I have to watch the Adepticon preview means I can stay up and play Balatro. I also might get back to doing a little bit of painting. Definitely. More to come on the painting front. We'll see soon what it is.
Nikki D, are you stoked for tonight's preview?
I have been very tired from working a lot on my day job and travel, and I'm actually leaving Friday morning at like 6 o'clock to go to a conference.
You told me we were staying up and watching together.
I am not. I'm not making it to tonight here for that. It's like 10 o'clock Central Time. So I get back from my conference late Monday night. Probably going to sleep Tuesday, and then Wednesday night I'll be back. So I don't promise hobby progress next week, but after that I don't travel again for like a full month. So I am very excited.
Do you have a Steam Deck? Because you could have Balatro progress.
Well, no. I can tell you because I ordered it from Frontline Gaming though. I've already started on my next hobby. I've already got in my possession my next hobby progress, or what it's going to be. I think it's going to be a Skaven Vermin Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wait, are you playing Old World now? I mean,
Age of Sigmar.
All right. Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Yep. Very cool.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for joining us. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of Signal from the Frontline. Have a great week, everyone.